It's time for your weekly dose of movie news, reviews, and the occasional rumor. Here's your host, Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele. This is Cinema Savants. And coming up in this week's show, Mulan, eating lots of moolah. He-Man and his missing relatives, and DC Comics trying to get some street cred back, and boy, did they need it since it took, a whopping 6 days for the Avengers to pass Justice League. That's sad, kind of, on the part of Justice League. Anyway, Lee's back with us this week. You saw the Avengers finally, Lee.
I did. It was pretty good.
Oh, I'm sorry. You saw stuff. The Avengers and showed up. That's what I meant to say.
Showed up to both. Yeah.
Yes.
I saw the Avengers. It was all right.
I am actually astounded at how quickly this movie is making money. I mean, we knew it was going to be a big thing. Were we expecting it to be this big?
I mean, not this fast.
No. Not this fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I thought it would be big, but yeah, not like... So when I saw it on a... was last Sunday, so it was opening weekend, right? And I saw it at... I didn't see it IMAX or anything like that. I saw it at a regular theater in Knoxville, Tennessee, and got there 25 minutes before the movie was supposed to... Well, you know, before the trailers start. So 25 minutes, walked in. We were trying to get four seats together because I went with my friend Donna and friend Donna and her brother and daughter Alex and I, and we walked in with 25 minutes. And I told Donna I had to wait for her brother. I said, Alex and I will walk in. We'll say four together. That wasn't going to happen. They were already taken. So we had to sit two and two just randomly in the theater. That's how busy it was on a Sunday afternoon in Knoxville, Tennessee at 2 PM, something like that. So, yeah. It was ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, I'd already known $250 million is what it made the opening weekend. I'd already heard that before we even showed up, which I knew meant it was going to be busy. But I don't remember seeing
that before. Well, because you saw it on a Sunday, and the reverend said to the congregation, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt see the Avengers after the service today.
Well, exactly. And he doesn't like the Avengers, and that's why they all died at the end. So it's fantastic. So, I mean, God to me. I mean, you think about it, the one part of that you mentioned, religion, how did they get away with Chris Pratt saying the thing about Jesus?
Wow. That was surprising. I was surprised with that. There were a lot of interesting lines where, like, well, they really pushed it. Like Doctor Strange calling Tony Stark what everybody knows he is, a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay, wow. Didn't see how that Disney coming. I'm glad it was there. Yeah, exactly.
A lot of great things about the film. If you go to see the film, don't expect a happy ending. I'll say that if you haven't already seen it, and you already have probably if you're listening to this. But there were several things I really liked about the movie. One thing I maybe liked the most was how the characters who had never interacted before, how they did the interaction with those characters, with the dialogue, because those are some of the best parts of the movie, I thought.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially like Thor, and he kept calling the Rocky Raccoon, he kept calling him a rabbit. I mean, it was just kind of funny.
Gentle rabbit. I agree. I mean, the action is spectacular and it's great, but the thing that makes this a really, really good movie, I don't know if it's great yet because I still haven't really thought about it, but the thing that puts it way past the DC movies for the most part is that character interaction. You invest in the characters. Most of the DC movies is like, yeah, okay, their stuff blows up. And the only reason you're invested in them is from your history with those characters, because they don't really give you much on the screen to get into those characters, to root for them. Marvel does a fantastic job of that. In DC, you know, not so much, which is why, like Rob said, it left Justice League in the dust after a weekend. It's crazy how much money this thing is doing and how fast it is, but it's because they're relatable characters and people are sad at these deaths. Was anybody, did you hear anybody sad about Superman dying at the end of, and big spoiler alert, at the end of Batman v Superman? Was there any kind of comment about that?
Because you knew he was coming back, and maybe these characters will as well, but the thing is, you don't know that they are.
Right.
Well, okay, a couple things with that.
one, I saw this earlier this week, and I thought it was brilliant. It was a complaint about how they prefer Marvel over DC because the DC movies are too dark. Dude, did you see Infinity War where everyone died? No, I mean too dark. I can't see what's going on the screen because there's no lighting. And I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, the everyone dying thing goes, there are two issues with that. One, Infinity War was a limited series as far as the books are concerned. So you knew going into it that, you know, yeah, it's going to be a good story, but they're not going to take, and I'm using this as an example that's not in the movie, the taking Iron Man out of the Avengers and killing him in a limited series. You don't do that in the graphic novel area. So when they said they're going to do Infinity War as a movie, in my head, I'm going back to the graphic novels going, they're not going to permanently kill it. Because in the books, they literally killed everyone. There was no one left but Thanos for about six panels.
Yeah.
But, you know, so when they said they're going to do this, I said, it's going to be a great movie or series of movies, because we know there's a sequel. And if there's a sequel,
well, there's not even a sequel. It's part two that they've already filmed.
Whatever.
So,
right.
They it's can't somewhere, kill, yeah. keep everyone dead.
And yeah, because the story's half over.
Right. And they've left plenty of loopholes to bring people back.
Yeah, of course. And we talked about this some last week. Is for one thing, we know that some of those characters will be back because
they have more movies.
Marvel doesn't even have the rights to Spider-Man, so they can't kill him off. I mean, that's not their character. So now they're borrowing him from Sony and they're working with Sony, but they can't do that. They're not going to be, oh, let's be real smart and kill off a $1 billion character in Black Panther. That's not going to happen. So we know because we know what's going on behind the scenes. Okay, well, some of these aren't real, aren't going to stay. I think a lot of them will stick, though, which is part of the, I don't know if it's fun, but it's part of the impact that this has, that some of these characters, they will be gone. And a lot of them that will be back, they will be gone after the next one. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's the stakes are really high in this. Even if we know some of them will be back, it's still the way it's done on screen is really gripping. I mean,
it doesn't end that. And they keep, I mean, who's really left? The Avengers.
The original Avengers, four. Exactly.
So, but I mean, my theory, there's so many. That's what makes a movie so successful and so good, is that you can have all these theories that are hopefully going to be summed up with part two, because that's really what it is.
Right.
But you have all these theories out there on like, oh, what is it, Doctor Strange? Doctor Strange may know what's going to happen. That's why he talks about that one scenario and talks about the end game at the end. And I have a hard time believing they're gone for that reason, because, well, first of all, some of them have movies coming out before the next Avengers film. So
yeah, exactly. I will say one of the, because I saw it again this weekend just to kind of refresh and catch some lines that I couldn't hear the first time because the audience was laughing so hard. Mm-hmm. And it's better on a second viewing because there's so much going on in this movie. But it's so well put together. I can't think of any movie that's had so many characters. And Marvel got blasted for saying, oh, it's the biggest crossover in history. And people would bring up ridiculous ideas. It's like, whatever. It's a huge crossover event. And there are dozens of important characters in this movie. And everyone basically gets their moment to shine.
Yes, they do.
And the pacing and the editing and how they flow from one to another, it's brilliant. I mean, this movie is so well done. Could it have been better? Probably. I'm not sure how, but you pretty much can always make a movie better, but it's just so well done. This could have been such a freaking train wreck.
Yes, it could have.
With all these characters and the outcomes. I mean, it's just, the Russo brothers are just absolutely brilliant with this. I mean, it's, considering the task they had ahead of them, oh, let's wrap up the past 10 freaking years of a studio's output. That's a pretty high bar. And And the thing goes so fast, too. What is it, 2 hours and 40 minutes? And
exactly. Like that's exactly what I was thinking.
It feels like an hour. I mean, it just flies.
It's gone. And I know that's, that's what I was thinking when I left the theater. I was like, is that it? Because it's like, I mean, that's not really it, because we know there's a part two. But it's exactly. The movie just flew by. I mean, and it wasn't like, oh, it's just all action and it's just, you know, it just flies by because it's just one big long action scene. It's not. But and you're perfectly, you hit on it perfectly. Everybody, every character has some moment or two in that film that really, like, this is their, I mean, Chris Pratt is the, you know, he is Star-Lord. I mean, it is, you know, they don't change character. And when, you know, that battle scene that ends up unfortunately becoming moot because of the Thanos comes back anyway. But when Thor, I mean, people cheered when Thor came back and it was
badass.
I mean, he's going to kick some ass, for no pardon my language, but that's exactly what the whole point was.
And he does. I want one person, one in a review or a comment, they said, is like, well, why didn't he come back a little bit sooner? And it's like, well, it wouldn't make any difference if he didn't came back sooner. It's like, because that's how long it took. You know. So some of the comments about it, negative comments, are weird. And like I said, yeah, there are probably things that could have been done better or differently or whatever. But the fact it's done as well as it is, to me, is amazing. I mean, they really pulled this one off. To me, that's not the best Marvel movie, but damn, it's a good movie.
Better than what DC is doing lately.
Oh my God. It's pitiful. They should just stop making movies. Just everyone in charge at Warner's and DC, just go watch Avengers Infinity War and just, all right, we're done. We're shelving it. We'll try back in 5 years because clearly we don't know how to make comic book movies, and these guys get it. I mean, Black Panther, Infinity War is like, holy crap. I mean, and there's so many little moments when you talk about everyone gets their moment. I mean, the little scene, and it's just a throwaway scene, but I remember it because it's like so many of them. It's awesome. Rhodey talking to Bruce Banner, and Bruce asks if he should bow. And Rhodey tells him, oh, yeah, of course, he's a king. And, you know, and makes him look like a fool. You know, and then just the laugh he has. I mean, it's half the life in the universe ends in this freaking movie, and it's full of funny moments.
But you know, partly why that is, it's Don Cheadle and Mark Ruffalo, and those are really good
actors.
That
is part of it. And that's part of it.
That's what makes the movie work. Is that they've got first of all, well chosen. I mean, Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange, hello. But yeah. I mean, just who they chose for those characters originally anyway, but then to have those actors interact with those lines, I mean, yeah, I thought it was perfect. I mean, you have lesser actors, it doesn't go over nearly as well.
No. And like you said, the interaction between Quill and Thor, I mean, which is just a running gag in the movie for a while. I mean, it's full of so many great, light, funny moments like that. And that's part of the reason why the pacing is so great.
Sorry, go ahead and catch
up. No, that was it.
I was going to say the one thing I didn't. Unfortunately, I felt like the guy who was wasted was Peter Dinklage, because I feel like they really didn't do a whole lot with that scene. He didn't really have a whole lot to work with on that.
No, he didn't. It was a nice surprise that he was in it, and it was a nice joke as to the appearance of his character. Yeah. And I do want to mention though, Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin is the second best. To me, the second best Marvel villain ever, and also the second best purple Marvel villain ever. I still, David Tennant is still, like, hands down, the best Marvel villain. And if you haven't seen the first season of Jessica Jones, you need to watch it. But he is awesome. And the same thing that Michael B. Jordan was able to do, partly because of the script, but also partly because of Michael B. Jordan, is he made the villain so sympathetic. And Thanos wasn't that sympathetic, not nearly as much as Killmonger, but still, there's a reason for what he's doing, and he's the hero of his own story. He's saving the universe.
That's true.
Everybody tells him he's wrong, and he is, because he's freaking insane, but he is saving the universe in his mind. So he's not evil. I mean, and they have so many scenes where he's reacting to it, to what he gives up. This costs him a lot. I mean, at the end of the movie, there's a line where, you know, he's asked, how much did it cost? And that sets this movie aside from a lot of other films, too, and not even just DC films, some of the Marvel films. I mean, the villain again, he's the hero of his own story, and that gives it so much more depth. And it's, I think it's cool that Thanos is the main character in this movie.
Yeah, and even to piggyback on that a little bit, not just superhero films, but just films in general.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Well, one of the films that it passed this week in terms of money, and you brought this up last week, Todd, was that it adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
It passed the highest grossing Bond film, which is somehow Thunderball.
Yeah. I'm just like, we both thought, Thunderball? What?
Yeah, I went back and rewatched that this week with one of my daughters, and she looked at it and said, this movie's crap. And I thought, you know what? It kind of is, really. It had an interesting premise, but I could wrap it up in half an hour.
Enough Thunderball hate. I like Thunderball. However, it's not really Sean Connery's best Bond movie. It's not as good as the second one. It's not as good as the first one. It's not as good as the third one. So, yeah.
Diamonds Are Forever, even with the car that magically switches sides as it goes through the alleyway, is better.
Yeah. Thunderball is just an okay film, which is weird that it was such a huge hit. Of course, Home Alone was the biggest comedy of all time, so quality doesn't necessarily translate into success.
That's true. It's a great trivia question, though. What's the highest grossing adjusted for inflation Bond film ever? How many people are going to know that?
No, it was one of the highest grossing films ever, period, let alone Bond. I mean, it's true, insane. Yeah. And Thunderball is like, it's still just, I still think that's,
it's
somehow,
not one of the names that comes to mind immediately.
No, it's not.
When you think about films.
No, it's like, I don't know, 10th? It's like, yeah, that's still, I still
see,
think
there's
that's
24
glitch
of them. For me, it would come in 23.
I thought you could say 25. Anyway.
Anyway, back to the Marvel stuff. Black Widow is supposedly getting her movie finally.
Woo! Ooh, and guess who'll be back then? Not necessarily, because they could do a prequel, obviously.
Right. Yeah, they've said there's going to be prequel elements to it. Mm-hmm. But they're really wanting to get the director right on this, apparently, because Marvel has allegedly interviewed over 60 directors.
Well, they need to get it right, because
I mean,
people have been...
I don't know how many they normally interview, but that's overkill, isn't it?
I don't know. People have been screaming for this movie since she first showed up, and it's about time. So they need to get it right.
Yeah, I mean, if we're hiring for a position where I work, you know, we may interview 15, but if we're spending $300 million on a movie, I mean, 60 sounds relevant.
We want to get it right, and I get that. Yeah. That's, wow.
And they went with M. Night Shyamalan, as it turns out. So.
And the twist is, she's a man.
Or Tarantino. Maybe that's a teaser for later in the show.
No, that would be fun.
Both of them together, they're co-directing.
Star Trek movie, and then it does Black Widow. That
Tarantino
would be fun.
Would probably be like, dude, you have no talent. Let me, you know, use your name, but let me roll with this. That would actually be pretty cool if Tarantino did a superhero film.
It turns out the blood is really an alien. Wait.
Which ship is yours? It's the one that says bad motherfucker on it. So, I don't know.
Wow. Okay, so... Speaking of that, let's flip to the other comic group, I suppose, because there was some DC news this week, and not all of it was good. Actually, let me rephrase this. I don't think any of it was really good.
Of course, which is sad.
The Watchmen series that is supposedly coming out. They announced the cast list of which characters are going to be in this. And there were some omissions that were very strange, such as the comedian is not in this movie. Dr. Manhattan and Rorschach are not in it, which made everyone go, okay, who the hell is in it? The answer is allegedly a lot of people, where was it? Idaho or Iowa? One of the, it starts with an I. Oklahoma, or it starts with an O, whatever.
Indiana.
A bunch of cops in Oklahoma. And it's apparently they're changing it to how people in Oklahoma deal with Dr. Manhattan in New York or whatever. What the hell is going on with this? Have you guys heard anything? Because this doesn't make a damn bit of sense to me.
No, but it fits with some of the decisions DC has made lately. And I hate to beat up on DC because they have done some good stuff. I mean, Wonder Woman was a really good movie.
I like their characters better.
Well, right. I don't know if I like their characters better, but I like them just as much. And as we've said probably every show, their animated universe is like hands down amazing, although not so much lately.
Oh, give me a minute.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, I think just the character part is, but they're more definitive characters. I mean, Superman, Batman. I mean, who you have in that, you could do great. Well, theoretically, you could do great things. If all those characters were in the hands of Marvel, people making those movies, I mean, hello.
Oh my God.
You're talking about great films.
Yeah, I mean, and there have been great films of those characters in the past, of course. So hopefully they will get back to that. Yeah, I mean, they've been around for 70 years, so.
Batman and Superman both celebrated 75 recently.
Yeah, which is kind of crazy.
One that hasn't celebrated quite as long as Swamp Thing, who is getting another TV series. This one's going to be on the DC Universe, which is what they're calling their new streaming service. The big deal with this is Swamp Thing is now going to be gender swapped. It's a woman. And I can't bring myself to care in the slightest about this because I never liked the character to begin with.
Yeah, me either, actually. I do like that Tilda Swinton is the lead in it, but no, I'm just kidding.
You may not be kidding. I don't know. We haven't gotten there yet.
Which case, how can you tell if it's gender swapped? Not Tilda Swinton, exactly. But just the way she plays roles. So
Swamp Thing, The Crying Game.
I would definitely watch that. I would definitely watch that. Yeah, Swamp Thing is like, yeah, that's interesting, but not one of my favorites. I would rather see a Solomon Grundy series. That would be fun.
How about this, then? A sequel series to Gotham. And, boy, I don't like the idea of Gotham just because it's in the Bat universe without Batman.
Right.
And that's what they're doing with the series called Metropolis. Guess where this is going?
Yeah.
Before Superman shows up, it follows the adventures of Lois Lane and Lex Luthor as they investigate the world of fringe science and expose the city's dark and bizarre secrets. No.
Pass. Hard pass. I've watched about an episode and a half of Gotham and was so.
Did it have Fish Mooney in it?
My expectations were fulfilled. It sucked. I mean, the whole concept of it is like every single villain in the Batman universe. Oh, they all went to high school together. It's like, okay, just stop already.
Wait, what? No, don't.
And like you said, let's not have Batman. And just, oh, for God's sakes, what an utter piece of crap. I really like it. Sorry. No.
No, you don't.
No.
Speaking of utter pieces of crap.
Woohoo!
DC has released already this year two of their supposedly much better animated movies.
Yeah.
And, oh dear. You remember when Batman and Harley Quinn came out and we looked at it and went, you know, I think they're starting a downward trend, or at least I hope they're not, because this movie really, it blew. It really did. So in keeping in that vein... Oh, dear. Suicide Squad, Hell to Pay, which I thought was going to be a sequel to their previous Suicide Squad movie, which I thought was good. The animated one, not the live one. What was it? Assault on Arkham, fun.
I'm so glad you clarified that. Yeah, Assault on Arkham is pretty good.
Hell to Pay confuses me for like the first 3/4 of the movie because... With as much mayhem and chaos as the Suicide Squad and the people they're up against in this movie create, you'd think one of the good guys would have popped up and gone, all right, knock it off. But they didn't. And then about 3/4 of the way through, there is an absolutely wonderful surprise that makes you go, oh, that's where we are. And it makes sense. And I don't want to spoil it. For those of you who are still interested in seeing it.
Nobody wants to see it. Spoil it.
I know.
But no, don't spoil it.
I'm being nice.
Yeah, be nice.
It is actually up until that point when you see the spoiler of, and you go, oh, that's where they are. That is a spectacular moment that you need to see the rest of the movie for that to make sense. Then you can turn it off. Because it goes downhill from there. It leads up to that one thing and you go, that is a cool plot twist, but it doesn't quite make up for the rest of the movie, which is crap.
I'm going to ask you one question. Is the plot twist Dr. Fate?
No.
Well, then I don't care.
You'd think, and yet no.
I love Dr. Fate.
So do I, actually. Needs to be a Dr. Fate movie, hint, hint.
It totally needs to be better. And by the way, can we get the Martian Manhunter just a little screen time on the big screen someday, please, for God's sake?
He's in Supergirl, which is a start.
Big screen. Big screen.
We're working our way up to. Did you notice that Dr. Fate made a cameo in the Constantine series?
Yes, I did. Brief. And how about a Spectre movie? Spectre movie would be fun because, and it has to be kind of a standalone thing because they can't really throw in Spectre because that just blows up the whole.
Spectre was in Constantine as well.
The whole thing. Movies.
And did have, back when they were doing the good animated stuff, there was a Spectre animated short.
I've seen it, man. It's awesome.
I liked it. It was really good. DC, I don't even like the horror stuff, but yeah, I like this.
Yeah, DC needs a hero who is the spirit of vengeance and just goes around boiling people alive. I mean, that'd be awesome.
Now, something that could have had that in it, but didn't, was the other DC animated movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Cleveland Browns tryouts. Anyway.
I think the Cleveland Browns tryouts went better than this movie.
oh, my God. Yes.
It's actually heavily anticipated and not out yet, but I got an advanced copy because I'm good that way. I have connections. Anyway, Batman Ninja, which looked very strange, and people wondered how is this going to work? Because it looks like it takes place in feudal Japan. It does. And the reason they do that is because Gorilla Grodd somehow got himself a time machine and zapped good chunks of Arkham Asylum, including Batman. And for some reason, every incarnation of Robin and Alfred, who was for some reason napping in the Batmobile, if I understood it correctly, all got zapped back to feudal Japan. But because of a temporal thing, they all showed up at different times. So Batman shows up last and everyone else has already established themselves as, you know, Joker is a crime lord and Grodd has gone off and likes bathing in hot springs for some reason. I don't know why.
He's itchy. That's why.
I guess. Could be.
It's got mites.
The Batmobile does make it back in. The high-tech Batmobile in feudal Japan. I'm sorry, what?
Really? That's interesting.
It doesn't last long. Somehow. It gets beaten up by arrows. The whole thing. And my daughter will back me up because she watched this with me because she wanted to see this. And we both decided that the animation and art in it that we normally like with the DC animated movies is not there.
Oh, that's fun.
This looks like a cutscene from a video game.
Ew.
That is an hour and a half long.
Wow. Yeah.
We kept pushing buttons on the remote hoping to get back to the game and it just didn't happen. The story's not spectacular. The art and animation is questionable. And seriously, for DC, I'm hoping they get back on track because this, it doesn't work. It's wrong.
That is,
it needs to be fixed. I don't like it.
Yeah, that is sad because they have done a lot of great movies. I mean, I've watched Flashpoint Paradox probably 6 or 7 times, seriously.
Yeah.
Justice League New Frontier, same thing. I mean, they've done some awesome animated movies, which we've said, guys, you've got a script, just put that on the big screen and you're done. But for whatever reason, they don't do that. It's a kind of a disturbing trend. I mean, the Killing Joke had a lot of problems. Of course, that story has a lot of problems, but they made it worse.
Well, yeah.
By introducing, let's have Batman and Batgirl hook up. Seriously. Not really.
There was implications that happened in the later episodes of the animated series.
Yeah, but implications and
there's implications and then there's that one scene on the rooftop.
Yeah, there's implications and there's booty calls and it's like, that's not really cool.
No. Speaking of booty calls and not really cool, the Film Academy this week. American Academy of, what is it? The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences this is a subject change completely, has voted to expel Bill Cosby and Roman Polanski. Unsurprising in the slightest, but what threw me off, because the Bill Cosby thing came up this week. He's guilty. He's going to prison. Did you see what the actual charge was?
Because
it wasn't rape.
Cannot recall what the charge was.
Aggravated indecent assault.
As opposed to decent assault.
That's lawyer speak.
Yeah.
Seriously.
It is lawyer speak, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't think they can. He hasn't been convicted of rape, right? So
no,
right.
So I don't think
just aggravated indecent assault,
right?
You know what? What surprised me about the Cosby thing doesn't surprise.
He beat her with his pudding fast. That's what it sounds like.
What surprised me is the Roman Polanski thing, and not because they expelled him, but it's kind of
that it took this long.
Yeah, because you could have done this how many decades ago? It's like now all of a sudden, it's important.
Polanski has been on the lam for 40 years, ever since fleeing the country while awaiting sentencing for a statutory rape charge in 1978.
Yeah, and the pianist came out since then. So I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what the issue is there. Unless they felt like it was a double-edged sword where it's like, oh, we've got Cosby, then we have to have Polanski. It just seems kind of random.
Don't get rid of Cosby. People will say it's a black thing. No.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And I'm not saying, oh, they shouldn't have done it. It's just and obviously it's because of the Me Too movement and everything else. But it's like, holy cow. I mean, they're almost making themselves look stupid for finally addressing the situation. Not that it actually is going to hurt Polanski's pocketbook or anything, obviously. But just really strange.
Speaking of the... of Cosby, Harvey Weinstein was in the news this week. A story about him and how he didn't like the idea of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy. He said we could streamline it, make the whole thing into one film. And you know what? If Peter Jackson doesn't want to do it that way, we'll get Quentin Tarantino to direct it. And what? That they wasted millions of dollars developing it into multiple films, and boy, aren't we glad that New Line Cinema didn't listen to this twit.
All right, so how much drinking was going on?
A lot.
Well, I mean, Tarantino obviously had ties to the Weinsteins. He's clearly was probably throwing stuff out, just it's a scare tactic. But and no offense to Tarantino. I mean, I love Tarantino. The movies turned out the way they should have turned out. It seems to me he's just throwing Tarantino's name out because of the ties he had to Weinstein instead of Tarantino being involved at all.
Yeah, it's Tarantino that's awesome director, but there are certain properties that just don't fit. That's one of them.
Oh, speaking of not fitting and Tarantino, do you know where he made his television debut?
As far as an actor or director? Because he's
as
actor.
As far as actor.
I do not.
On Jackass? No.
He was a secondary character on an episode of The Golden Girls. I'm not making this up. There's an episode where they end up accidentally hiring like 12 Elvis impersonators, and he's number 3.
Mm.
So he's look it up. It's very, very strange. Anyway, so... speaking of the Reservoir Dogs, that was one of his films, wasn't it?
His first one.
Yeah. See, it's a segue. That's the honest trailer name for a movie that Todd saw this week. I worked it into the show. I told you pre-show I was going to work it in somewhere.
You did work it in. Yes, I finally saw Isle of Dogs, which seemed like forever to open in this area, which is weird. And even in Miami, it took forever, which is rather odd. Anyway, Isle of Dogs, the latest film from the centrist director, Wes Anderson. It's a little unusual. Imagine that, a Wes Anderson film being unusual.
No,
can't be. It's super quirky and strange in that the dogs all speak in English. All the other characters, with the exception of one who's a foreign exchange student, because this film takes place in Japan, speak in Japanese with no subtitles, which makes it fun.
Thanks.
Some things are translated for you, but often things aren't, and you just pick up on what they're talking about just from the context, which works. The plot basically, and this is a puppet, a stop motion animation film, in case you didn't realize that. So anyway, basically, there has been a huge plague, and all the dogs in Japan have been forced off onto this island, which is garbage island, trash island, whatever. So now they all live on this trash island, and that's where they have to stay. And it turns out that there is a evil manipulative plot that caused all this to happen, and one boy goes to rescue his dog. So it's the travel of this boy trying to find his dog, Spots, who is voiced by Liev Schreiber, which is interesting. The voice cast in this is crazy. It's basically, I think if you have a SAG card, you're in the movie. So, and the work is terrific. I mean, the voice work is awesome in this movie. And so it's this boy's journey and this gang of five dogs who help him out. And the dogs are constantly taking votes because they're all awful dogs. So they always take votes. And then one dog doesn't really care to vote and splits off on his own and constantly warns other dogs and people that he just says, "I bite," which is a running joke in the film. It's weird. It's quirky. Again, imagine that. Very, very funny. But again, in a strange way. But again, I'm saying again a lot. If you've never seen a Wes Anderson film, you know that going in. It's not as funny as The Fantastic Mr. Fox. It's more on the quirky side, but it's still a funny film. It's a good movie for maybe somewhat older kids. It's rated PG-13, and which fits. That's a great age group to start at. Pretty violent for an animated movie. Lots of dogfights and a few dismemberments, which is cool. But I really enjoyed it. It's a strange, very strange movie in the fact that probably half the dialogue you don't, unless you speak Japanese, you have no idea what the hell they're saying, which makes it kind of cool.
It'd be interesting to see someone who does speak Japanese go see this and see if they're actually saying something.
I'd be interested to see. Well, I mean, again, from the context, you can get what they're talking about. But this is an interesting comment on just how awful corporations can be. Not all corporations, but a lot of them care so much about profit that they do bad things. And this corporation certainly does. And the tie-in of the corruption of the tie-in between government and corporations, which has been a big problem in Japan. And so it's interesting now. Okay, not just Japan, come to think of it. Anyway, fun movie, weird movie, but very fun movie. And the acting, everyone is just a great job on this. Very, very cool, strange flick. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, and if I could jump in real fast, being the Wes Anderson devotee here.
Yes.
I think. But I still haven't seen it because it just arrived to Knoxville last weekend when I was actually watching The Avengers. But he's always used a lot of Asian influences and has a lot of Asian people working on his film. So if someone from Japan were to watch the film, I would assume he would make it in a way where it would actually make sense to them because he seems
to be sure. That anyway.
But yeah.
Or does it, if you go to Japan, is it all in English?
I actually saw an article about that. Oh, crap. I'll have to get back to you. Yeah, it's not in English, but it's I can't remember. There's a point. But
Swedish.
Yeah, it's all in Swiss, all in Norwegian. Stellan Skarsgård does all the voices. But it's because he's Norwegian. But yeah, I was going to ask Todd if you thought it was more Moonrise Kingdom than Rushmore, just as far as the humor and the value got out of it.
Much more Moonrise Kingdom than Rushmore. And one thing too is the dogs do not understand the people talking to them because they don't understand Japanese, which which makes it really fun because, you know, dogs don't actually understand what we're saying, but that's a strange way to represent it because the dogs all speak English and just talk among themselves. And it's not translated as people don't hear them barking. It's just, if that's not addressed at all. So it's really, again, another strange little quirk of his films. I do want to mention there's a big thing going on now is the horror of cultural appropriation. And there is some talk about, ooh, I Love Dogs, he's done a terrible thing because, you know, he's using Japanese culture to make the film. And it's like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, my God. Just stop with this crap. I mean, yes, there are plenty of things we do as a culture in the United States which we shouldn't do. Borrowing from one culture to make a film is not one of the bad things that we do. A young girl wearing a Chinese dress to prom is not a horror story. Okay.
I did not see the problem with that.
What the hell is wrong with people? I mean, just calm the hell down. There are plenty of important things to be upset about, which is not the purview of this show, but using Japanese culture to make a movie about dogs, an animated movie about dogs, that's not one of them.
No. No, actually, oddly enough. Speaking of a dog of a movie. I've lost the guy's name. Paul Feig.
Kevin Bacon. Oh, thought you were talking.
Paul Feig. He says he wants to do a sequel to Ghostbusters. Not the original version, the one that just came out and bombed.
Well, if they get a good script, I'm all for it. They might try that.
They didn't the first time. Why should they?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you got a 50-50 shot. It's like, and you already had a bad one, so maybe you'll have a good one this time.
Potential, I suppose. It's something else that came out this week that I thought was interesting, and it goes back to a really bad movie and a horrible TV series and some of the most bizarre toys I've ever seen. They're talking about making another He-Man movie, but they've made a plot twist this time that makes it almost interesting.
Gender swap. It's She-Man.
Wow.
It's RuPaul.
Oi.
RuPaul.
No, don't do that.
I have the power now. I guess not.
It's another Tilda Swinton doll.
Yeah. You can't have enough of those.
The concept behind this is that, I had to dig up these names, which is very strange. King Randor, I had forgotten his name, apparently had two kids.
Ooh.
The first one is Keldor, and he became estranged and wandered off somewhere. So Prince Adam, because that name goes with Keldor and Randor. Adam. Yeah, sure.
It does.
These are my sons, Bill, Steve, and Hayorki. No, that doesn't. Anyway, Adam ends up becoming He-Man, but Keldor, the son who's exiled, becomes Skeletor. So he's actually the rightful heir to the throne.
Ooh.
I think that makes it a more interesting. Oh, look, we might have a story in this one, you know, kind of thing.
That makes it almost interesting enough to care.
Almost.
Almost.
And yet. I suppose I should mention this. They're also remaking Mulan, which is considerably better than He-Man. They're talking about how much money the live-action Mulan is going to cost, and right now they're looking at a price tag of $290 million.
Are they rebuilding China? I mean, I'm not sure.
Brick for brick.
I'm not sure how that happens.
Well, they're not. I don't know. Maybe they're not using CG to make the armies. They're going to hire somebody and have to build armor for every individual person in the soldier for the long shots. I don't know.
Can't they just use the stuff they had for Lord of the Rings? And
see, that's what I was thinking. It's not like they haven't done this before.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Yeah,
that makes no sense.
And it'll never be released in China, so.
No.
Which, speaking of being released in China, Avengers Infinity War hadn't even hit China, didn't even arrive in China. I thought the 11th, I think it comes out.
Uh-oh.
So
more money.
Yeah, it's like it's made a few coins, and it hasn't even hit a huge target audience. So.
Yeah, well, it was never really there. Yet.
That was brilliant.
That's another segue.
That was brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you.
You Were Never Really Here, which is a weird a weird movie title, which is a weird movie, which I saw last night. Stars, I almost said Keanu Reeves. It would be a different movie. Oh, it'd still be great. stars Joaquin Phoenix as a gentleman who is suffering from PTSD for lots of reasons, mainly his entire life. And he specializes in finding children who have been kidnapped for sex slavery. which is kind of an odd line of work. And I'm not sure how you actually get those gigs, but that's what he does. And he's very good at it. And he's very brutal about how he gets these people back. His weapon of choice is a ball peen hammer, which personally I really, really like, because that was always my go-to thing about hitting people with a ball peen hammer if I was ever going to be a destructive kind of person, which I'm not. But he's an immensely screwed up person, and which is a good choice to have Joaquin Phoenix play this role, because I'm not saying he is, but he does a very good job of carrying those emotions and the thoughts out. He's terrific in this movie. So he's after a young girl who has been kidnapped, and a state senator is the dad, and he gets the gig, and then it turns out, oh, there's a lot more going on than he thought. There's a huge conspiracy. The dad winds up committing suicide. He gets the girl, and she's kidnapped back from him, and it goes on from there and gets even more violent and crazy and kind of strange. It's a thriller character study. And again, Joaquin Phoenix is awesome in this movie. It's not really a happy movie. It's not like it doesn't have a big tragic ending. Spoiler. It has a tragic ending for some people, because some people are dead at the end of it. But it's very violent, and it's kind of a disjointed movie, deliberately, because there are lots of flashbacks. So you got kind of gradually piece together how Phoenix turned into the person that he is. So you see scenes of, oh, well, this might be one reason why he's so screwed up. It's from the director who directed We Need to Talk About Kevin. I believe that's Bacon. The title. Not Bacon. Not not even Sausage, which is also a strange film. A really good film.
Kevin Sausage was a very strange film.
But
I'll shut up.
Definitely. Yeah, We Need to Talk About Kevin. Definitely a really good, but kind of a harrowing journey. I mean, this is far more than a dark film. I mean, Warner Brothers would be proud to release this as a DC Comics movie, because it goes in some really, really dark, scary places. Not the most enjoyable film to watch, but it's really, really well done. And Joaquin Phoenix is awesome in this. He is like off the charts great in this, seriously. And of course, it's really early in the year, but I would not be a bit surprised if he was not nominated for an Oscar for this. He's already won, I believe, his Cannes Film Festival. He won the Best Actor Award for this. So super.
Could be too early, though. Too early in the year, though, right?
Hard to tell. Yeah, typically later on. Usually the later the release, the better. But every once in a while, something will sneak through that came out early. I mean, like Get Out. I mean, it came out in March and got a lot of notoriety, did really well. So maybe. Regardless, it's one of those movies that you will want to catch. You know, if you are smart enough to have MoviePass, go ahead and use MoviePass for this movie. Really, really good flick.
Speaking
not happy.
MoviePass.
Good. Yes.
Well, there was news about it this week, but I forgot to put it in my notes.
There's news about it every week. Okay, so this week the candy asses are complaining that, oh no, they're ruining MoviePass. Okay, so this is how they ruined MoviePass. You cannot watch the same film more than once.
I didn't think you could anyway.
Well, you're not supposed to, and well, now it's built into the software that you can't. It just won't allow you to select it. Which, you know, at first I thought, well, what difference would it make to them? But they're promoting viewership of all movies this way, so the movie industry should really like this, because this is helping smaller films make money. So I think that's a good thing. And it's restricted to one device. Now, before, you always had to. You were supposed to show ID. A lot of theaters weren't doing that, but they're supposed to ask for your ID because it's one account and one person is supposed to use it. You're not supposed to hand it off to your BFF and say, oh, here, go use this. The point is one person uses this. So if you're complaining that you don't get to use your $10 a month subscription to give to all of your frickin' cheap ass friends to go see 30 movies this month, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, all they've done is set in place, basically coded in the restrictions to make you live up to the agreement that you signed when you paid for the damn thing. You don't share the account. You watch one movie one time, and you get to watch 30 movies a month. They haven't done anything except enforce the damn agreement. So all of this,
how dare they?
All this crap about, oh, Movie Pass is terrible. Oh my God. It's like, you're a moron. You're a moron if you think that's bad. And a cheapskate. So the hell with you. It's ridiculous. This constant negative crap on Movie Pass when it's like, oh yeah, it really bums me out that I spent $10 and watched 30 freaking movies, which I've never come close to and never will because who has the time? But oh my, you're mad because you can't palm it off. You know, you can't, you know, have your friend up in Ohio download the app and use your account. It's like, no, make their cheap asses spend the $10. How exactly do you think this company is ever going to make money and sustain it?
Keep going.
And keep it going so you can go see your movies? For God's sakes. Sometimes I just, well, never mind.
I don't get people sometimes.
Often I don't get people. And there are bigger reasons that I don't get people. And this is just a small example of it. But, you know, I would like to see a positive article about MoviePass. Like, oh my God, this is cool. I saw 6 movies this month and it cost me $10. Isn't that awesome? Oh, instead of, oh, this sucks because I can't buy my soda, my popcorn with it. Or, you know, or I can't pay my rent with my movie pet. No, you can't, dumbass. It's for watching a movie. That's what it's for. It's not a credit card for whatever the hell you want. It's for watching a movie, period. Right, right. It's for you to watch a movie a day.
Hey, just to kind of talk about something we were talking about. Mulan, have you guys looked at the cast for this Mulan live action thing? Cast is amazing.
Tilda Swinton.
Jet Li, Donnie Yen, Lee Gong. I mean, the cast is crazy. It's like,
it is.
I'm going to see that. I don't care if it costs $200. It's not costing me $290 million to make. I think I'll go see this. I don't even care about the story.
Well, that's true. It's not costing you $290 million. That would be, you'd need MoviePass if that was the case.
That's right.
Yeah, that
you'd
is
only see it once, though.
That is a crazy cast, though. It is. Maybe that's where the $300 million is going.
Well, that's why I looked up the cast. I was like, is there somebody in there who's taking up, right, who's taking up a bunch of the money from being cast? But I can't imagine.
No.
I mean, Jet Li's, but I can't imagine any of those people being like, I'm worth $100 million and you can make the movie for whatever.
Tom Hanks is in it?
No.
With Tom Cruise.
That would be Dwayne Johnson.
It's more like Tom Cruise as Nick Cage. I could see Cruise and Hanks being kind of worth the money because their movies make money. But Nicolas Cage, I'm not sure at this point, but he still eats up a lot of the payroll.
Nicolas Cage.
Nick Cage.
If people still bought DVDs, that would, every other movie he makes would be a direct DVD release. I mean, that dude is just cranking out the crap these days, which is strange because he's a great actor.
Kirk Cameron's films all make money, but I mean, I can see him doing that. But.
Kirk Cameron's movies cost like $12 to make. I think he actually uses his MoviePass credit card to fund them.
Kirk Cameron stars in Mulan, The Resurrection.
Okay, so speaking of casting and resurrections and stuff, see, eventually we'll get to a segue. Casting news this week, they're talking about rebooting Spawn, the Todd McFarlane book. And the name most recently attached to the character is Jamie Foxx. And I love the way this article announced that Spawn reboot is reportedly eyeing the Amazing Spider-Man 2 actor Jamie Foxx. And I thought, wait, that's what you're attaching him to.
Really? It's like, let's pick the worst possible example of Jamie Foxx's career.
Are you sure you want to use that one?
Because it's, of course, because it's a comic book movie.
Because it's a comic book movie, exactly.
How stupid.
Wow.
Like, that's awful. I was like, what site was that on? He needs to sue them. don't remind people.
It's actually comicbookmovie.com. That's where I first found it and went.
Really? Yeah, that's sad, though.
Are you sure?
Yeah, remind people of just a bad, bad...
So, any comments on Jamie Foxx's Spawn? That seems kind of... I suppose it would work after Django, or however you pronounce it.
Django. It's just Django, yeah.
There's a D in it. I'm pronouncing it.
Well, it's like the country Djibouti, which is in Africa. And Django just has a D, but it's just Django.
Isn't that the game you play with the blocks that stack. Anyway.
Yeah, the Jenga. And Leah is always talking about booty. I'm not sure what's going on here.
Something about a twin bed. The
I'm a pirate.
I've brought up the Dora the Explorer live action movie a few times because I'm curious to see where they're going to go with it, because all my kids were pretty much raised on Dora and Scooby-Doo and Super Friends, but that's not the point. Have you guys ever heard of an actress named Isabella Moner?
No, but
it's judging from your silence, I'll go with no.
No, but it sounds like she's in several movies with Stormy Daniels.
No. Those. Oi, this is underage, Bill Cosby.
Just saying.
Apparently she was in Transformers The Last Night, which I think six people saw, but we were not any of them. Anyway, she's playing Dora, and she's Hispanic. That's the best I can do at this point.
That's pretty good.
It's funny. She's from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm not joking. Like, that's really where she's from. I would assume she would be, like, you know, a Hispanic actor, but she's from Cleveland. That's interesting. I'm looking up her on IMDb, and yeah, Transformers is the only thing I would that remotely. Looks familiar. Yeah.
So anyway, how about movies with trailers? Did you guys see the Ant-Man and Wasp trailer?
I have.
We haven't talked about Marvel enough this week.
I have.
I saw it, unless there's a new one that's come out. I saw the one that came out.
It came out. There was one that came out, what, Tuesday?
I haven't seen the most recent one.
It looks like the first one, only with different scenes.
Okay. I actually like the first one. The first one, I mean, it's got Evangeline Lilly in it, so I'll probably see it. But, I mean, I thought it looked pretty fun, which is exactly what it should be.
It's got funny stuff.
See? There we go. Go see Ant-Man and Wasp. Other trailer came out this week that had an interesting plot twist that I wasn't entirely expecting.
Me either. I know what you're going to go with. Where you're going to go with this. Yeah.
Taron Egerton.
Well, that wasn't the plot twist I was thinking, but...
No. Starring as Robin Hood in the movie of the same name. Where the interesting twist is, it looks like maybe DC has some influence on this, because it looks a lot like Arrow, only set back then, where Robin Hood is a secret identity of Robin of Locksley, apparently.
Well, I thought the twist was that Spawn is in the movie, too.
Ah.
That's what I thought, too. Yeah.
He's in the background.
Well,
he's Little John, isn't he?
He's actually a slave, and actually Samuel L. Jackson is actually his. No, I'm just kidding. That's all. Yeah, he's Little John, but I.
Samuel L. Jackson is the house monk.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to feel about that, because it doesn't make sense, honestly, to have an African American in that time. It just doesn't, and it's I know that, you know, we have to be.
You mean like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Well, yeah. I mean, it just doesn't
that actually
sense.
Made sense, because they had the storyline of bringing him back with him from the Crusades.
Maybe that's the case, but in the trailer, Jamie Foxx just sounds like an American actor, right? Yeah. So it's not like he's playing with some kind of accent where he would have been brought back from somewhere other than Cleveland, Ohio, for instance, you know. And it just doesn't make a lot.
No, then he would sound Hispanic.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. I think that's the. I might still be willing to go see it, but and I don't have obviously anything against African American actors being in films. It just this film doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense unless it's somebody being brought back from. But then you wouldn't have an American accent. I feel like I'm having to suspend.
Maybe he's turning into Kevin Costner, where he doesn't have any accent other than his own.
Yeah, well, but
he's not the lead either.
Clearly, you know? Clearly he's coming back from America.
That's right. He's coming back from America.
During the Crusades.
I went to this place called Starling City in the future, America. And there was this guy named Oliver Queen.
He was a king in Africa, and he came to America, and now he's being reversed, and he's just playing Eddie Murphy. Arsenio Hall somewhere in this film. It's just like,
Arsenio definitely has to be in the movie.
Have you seen our local band at the tavern? It's called Sexual Chocolate. You might enjoy this.
Mark Henry's in the movie? What?
Oh, jeez. It is odd casting. I will just say that. And Jamie Foxx is awesome, but it is unusual casting. As was Morgan Freeman in Prince of Thieves. Although the casting of of Kevin Costner's accent was by far the worst part of that movie.
I'm not going to argue that in the slightest. We are kind of running out of time for this week's episode, so I'm going to put Lee on the spot with something he should have done last week if he was here, but we cut it out of the show because he wasn't. That's fine. Lee, do you happen to have a greatest TV program of all time?
For this week? Yeah, actually, instead of going... So you guys have seen Seinfeld. You like Seinfeld, right? It's a communal show. We got four main people on it. Really, it's Jerry Seinfeld, but it's really it's a entourage that's involved in the TV show and the different storylines. And each show has different storylines that two or three things, plot lines are going on in each show, and that makes it interesting because the characters are interesting. But that same kind of premise also belongs to another show where in Seinfeld they all kind of get along. And they all mutually like each other. But you take that same kind of feeling and you transpose that over to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, I thought you were going with Andy Griffith.
That's right. But wow. Have you guys seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Okay.
Not tons of it, but I've seen quite a few episodes, yeah.
They're all really deplorable people. But it's all, yeah. And that's what makes it so funny, is that it really has that Seinfeld feel, except they really would kill each other to get ahead. So the show's been on for several years. Danny DeVito started in the second season. The first season's kind of short, and second season kind of really took off. Danny DeVito's great in the show. Everybody that's in the show is like awesome. But the one thing that I really like about the show is the different plot lines that happen in each episode that are just become more and more absurd, which I enjoy. But the show, all the actors are somehow, except for one, married to someone else on the show. So you're watching these people on the show, in real life. You're watching these people on the show not like each other, but for instance, Charlie Day's character, Charlie, really likes the waitress. They're actually married in real life, but on the show, she hates his guts. So to me, that kind of plays into it. There's my favorite episode, maybe, where Charlie, everybody knows Charlie Day now. He's been in so many films, right? Yeah. So, but he thinks that hornets, he's trying to knock down this hornet's nest downstairs with this baseball bat that has these nails coming out of it. And he's trying to knock it down, not because he thinks it's a threat, because they run this bar together. Everybody runs this bar. It's not because he thinks it's a threat. He thinks it's because hornets can make honey. So he's trying to knock down the hornet's nest so that he can steal the honey. But he's not really sure how to do it. So what he ends up doing is having this box. He puts the hornet's nest in this box. And he has this tube that he's trying to suck out the hornets with because he thinks that's how they will make honey. So anyway, he gets stung all over his face, of course. And this is just one plot line among many on this show. But the other two characters are trying to set him up on the stake because they feel that he needs to get over the waitress because that's the ongoing thing with the show. So he ends up going on this date with this very attractive Asian lady, but he's sweating through his shirt. He's got hornet stings all over his face. He's so nervous that he can't actually say they're trying to say, make something up that you do. You're not just a janitor at this bar. So he tries to say he's a philanthropist. But what he actually tells the lady is he's a full-on rapist. But he's trying to say philanthropist.
I remember that episode. That's why I'm laughing so hard. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, there's this one guy, another plot line that's happening on the show. This is another guy who's dating the waitress, but he's horrible to her, just horrible. And Charlie knows this. So Charlie finally figures out after going on this awful date himself that the hornets don't actually make honey, that they're just there to sting people. So he thinks, this guy's really been, I'm going to knock on this guy's door and give him this as a gift. And the guy's like, oh, man, thanks for the gift. But he doesn't realize it's just hornets. They're going to sting him everywhere. But anyway, it's just, if you haven't seen the show, if you like Seinfeld, I think you'll also like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia if you don't mind people being deplorable on the show. Because the actors are worth buying into and they do a good job with the show. So It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That would be my of this week would be the greatest show on television.
Wow. Wasn't expecting that, but okay. And I don't know. Do we have anything else for this week?
No, other than...
And there is silence.
Up, well, okay. Coming up films.
Bueller.
You got Solo coming up, and you got Deadpool Bueller. Coming up. So.
And Solo is selling tickets like mad crazy,
yeah.
Which is interesting. Yeah,
I saw an article a little while ago that said it is the second highest pre-selling movie of the year, leading everyone to go, yeah, duh. So I'm sure we'll have more on that as we get closer to the release date and more on Deadpool, which also has Josh Brolin without the Infinity Gauntlet.
Oops, that's right.
That's where the other Infinity Stone was. It was in Cable's eye. That's...
it's somewhere in Deadpool. That would be awesome. Trying to get it out of Deadpool.
We have seen that Ryan Reynolds put out the Deadpool Avengers rejection letter video, right? And he was like, he was grateful for that they wouldn't let him in the Avengers because, you know, things got kind of squirrely. So,
which nice. makes me remember that I rewatched Dr. Horrible this week. And he keeps getting turned down by the evil league of evil. And then he finally actually kills somebody at the end and is incorporated into the evil league of evil. So maybe the same thing will happen with Deadpool. He'll be an Avenger because of his hero, Neil Patrick Harris, coming to evil league of evil. And Dead Horse and Thomas Jefferson.
All true. That sounds like a good note to end the show on because I don't know what the hell we're talking about anymore.
It is all true.
So, we'll see you next week, everyone. Be safe and go watch a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.